Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Martha and the Vandellas song Dancing in the Street was originally supposed to be a summer dance hit. But then the 60s happened, and Dancing in the Street took on a whole new meaning. Author Mark Kurlansky wrote a new book about the song. It's called Ready for a Brand New Beat, How Dancing in the Street Became the Anthem for a Changing America. He's with me in the studio today. Mark, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, John.
So you have, over the course of your career, become known for focusing on single subjects, cod, salt. Why this song?
Well, partly because I'm that generation, so the song means something to me. And I have, you know, watched over, is it 50 years now, almost, how this song endures but keeps having a different position in society as society changes. And I thought that this was, you know, this thing that I do about small things being larger just happens to be the way my mind works. And it seems to me that the history of this song was a great example of two things. First of all, it was a great example of why songs are important. And it also is a great example of how the great R&B and rock and roll that came out of the 60s, whether it meant to or not, had everything to do with what was going on with black rights.
Mm. And so 1964, you've got, the Memphis Summer Project happening, and Mississippi.
Yeah, it was called the Summer Project, but it became known as the Mississippi Freedom Project,
right,
where they brought all these people to Mississippi to try to register black voters. And it was one of the most famous operations of the civil rights movement.
And three of those volunteers quickly go missing, and there's a search for bodies.
That just really kept it in the news. And really made people, I think, more aware than they ever had been about how violent this thing was that was going on in the Deep South.
But the song Dancing in the Street, I listen to that now, and it's a summery kind of, you know, bit of musical joie de vivre.
Yeah.
How does that?
Well, that's the question that can't ever be completely answered, because
wait a minute, you just wrote 300 pages answering it. Don't tell me that.
the song and black music in general, historically going back to slave times, is open to interpretation. And this is something that's very deep in black culture. In the 60s, white people were just beginning to become aware of it. Things like, remember, Louie Louie, what do the words really mean? As a kid, we were doing the same thing as the FBI was. We were playing the record slow to try to figure out the words. here's this song, and it's about dancing and party and having a good time. And Martha Reeves will tell you to this day, that's what the song's about. But right around the time the song first came out was the first black inner city explosion in Harlem, with many more to follow. So that every summer, at the approach of summer, everybody talked about, is this going to be a long, hot summer? This feeling of dread, what's going to happen this summer? Mm. Here's this song. It says, summer's here and the time is right for dancing in the street.
Right.
And then it goes on and lists all of these
cities
with important black communities.
Tellingly, the song is called Dancing in the Street, not In the Streets,
right,
which would have been a lot easier to read into. Right. This is a song that was co-written by Marvin Gaye, who we know would later write some very pointed socio-political songs.
Marvin Gaye was a very political person. Unfortunately, I couldn't speak to him.
Right, of course.
Killed by his father. I was talking to Bruce Morrow, Cousin Brucey.
The old ABC radio DJ.
Right, who talked to Marvin Gaye often. And he said, when you talk to Marvin Gaye, you knew you were talking to somebody with very strong political undercurrents.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Stevenson, who was the A&R director for Motown and was also one of the co-authors, very political guy. Ivy Joe Hunter, maybe less so. I talked to Mickey and Ivy Joe. And, you know, part of this idea called masking, this idea of black music that you have a hidden meaning. You have the upbeat meaning for the white people and the dark political meaning for the black people. And, you know, the way that works is you never admit to it.
You know?
So that makes it even more difficult. But when you talk to Mickey Stevenson, he clearly had a political point of view to this song. Although not the political point of view that the Black Panthers and H. Rap Brown had, more an idea about integration. He said that, you know, the idea of the song was when you look out on the street in a hot summer day and you see all these kids out there playing with fire hydrants or dancing, or that, you know, that they don't care if they're black or white. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just all people together. And to him, that's what the song was about. But interestingly, you know, characteristic of a truly great song, it meant something different to everyone.
Right. Well, and we're talking about the song Dancing in the Street, the subject of Mark Kurlansky's new book called Ready for a Brand New Beat, How Dancing in the Street Became the Anthem for a Changing America. Mark's previous books include Cod, a biography of the fish that changed the world, and Salt, a world history. There were many other songs available to people in 1964 that they could have focused in on, and some did, that were much more calls to action.
Yes.
A change is going to come is one that you mentioned.
Yes, yeah, which Sam Cooke agonized over. Should he be this political? And, you know, the irony of people like Sam Cooke and Motown, all of Motown, was that this was what they called in the industry crossover music, music by black people to sell to white people. And it was felt that to do that, you shouldn't be too political. But what they were doing in itself was a highly political thing. Because if you go back to the 1950s, separate worlds, you know, black music, black radio stations, black billboard charts, and white.
Right.
Separate. Everything was separate.
You write at one point about Berry Gordy that he was 5 years old before he met a white man who wasn't Santa Claus.
Yeah, he said that his only concept of a white man was Santa Claus.
So for the first 5 years of his life, living in an exclusively black world there
in Detroit. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, they were such separate worlds. I mean, you know, they even had different Boy Scouts. They had separate schools, of course. You know, and black people and white people didn't mix. And then along came the civil rights movement and this idea that we should be mixing.
Mm-hmm.
And the rebels, the great rebels of the 50s, people like Elvis Presley. Who was Elvis Presley? He was a white Southerner who rebelliously went to the wrong side of town and picked up their music.
Right.
And white people loved it.
So Sam Cooke, this is around the same time as Dancing in the Street. He's got a song that does have a political message.
Right.
It somehow doesn't become the anthem that Martha and the Vandellas song does, but still. I mean, just take a listen. This is a song that still has a powerful message today.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too
lies up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come.
What a voice, huh?
Oh, man.
I forgot how orchestrated that intro was.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a big sound.
But then it goes, it's really gospel, which is Sam Cooke's roots.
Yeah. So this is 1964 as well.
Yes. Yeah, but it, a whole different kind of approach to song. The strength of Dancing in the Street, not that this song doesn't have incredible strength, but the strength of Dancing in the Street is it doesn't have to be that.
Right.
If you want it to just be dancing, it's a great song to dance to.
And I would say for many people who came to that song after 1960, let's say eight, a year that you have written about as well, would probably think of it as just a dance song.
Well, if you look at the David Bowie Mick Jagger cover, which was the only other version of the song to make the top 10, and, you know, I don't know what that's about, but it's not about anything too serious.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
that's about two guys having hamming it up for the cameras.
Yes.
Because the video is...
I looked at all the movies that use the song, and there's this one movie, people will be surprised I'm even bringing this up, Sister Act 2.
Okay. I assume Whoopi Goldberg.
I haven't seen it. And she plays a Vegas singer hiding out as a nun, and she's trying
again.
Well, it's two, you know.
Okay.
And she's trying to raise money for the school glee club.
Hey, we're here to collect some money from you. That means we need your help. We're not playing. Put that basket out there. Get that money.
So she has this rally, and what do? They play Dancing in the Street. And everybody forks over money. And, you know, in a strange way, that's the truth about this song. This song will get people on their feet and get them moving for whatever your cause is. And, you know, the Whoopi Goldberg character in this movie uses this song in the exact same way that H. Rap Brown did for Black Power rallies.
So in the 60s, in the mid-60s, when the song Dancing in the Street was still sort of current, and I mean, would it come back every summer? Would people, how widely read was this subtext that you've written about?
Well, first of all, it really became the song of the Black Power movement, played at rallies, and these were the years when the Black Power movement was really strong. I refer to it in the subtitle of the book as I use the word anthem. Mm-hmm. That word comes from Barack Obama. Barack Obama called it the anthem of the civil rights movement, which it actually wasn't, and I'm sure that he knows it wasn't. It was the anthem of the Black Power movement, which is not exactly the same thing, but, you know, he's not going to get tripped up on mentioning Black Power.
But there was also another Martha and the Vandellas song that was sung at rallies, and that was Heat Wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't seem to have taken kindly to that either, Martha Reeves.
Amira Baraka, former Leroy Jones.
The poet.
Was the poet and one of the real founders of the Black Arts Movement. Mm-hmm. And a really insightful person on music. You know,
especially jazz,
blues. You know, he points out that a lot of Martha's music has that edge to it, has that political edge to it. Marvin Gaye said that just Martha's voice had an incredible political edge to it. Meanwhile, there's Martha saying, "What? I'm not political.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want people to dance." She was very, to this day, gets extremely upset when you associate the song with Black Power movement, because then it gets associated with the uprisings in the cities, which, so you know, Detroit has still not recovered from
right.
that. And she loves Detroit.
Yeah, and must have been sick of the sight of you, Mark Berlansky, writing this whole book about her song Dancing in the Street and how it became the anthem of a changing America. But here's that other song, Love is Like a Heat Wave, which also this would be played at the rallies.
Right.
And again, that extraordinary voice of Martha Reeves. Again, a great piece of pop
Hard
music.
Hard to stand still when you hear it.
those must have been fun rallies.
Well, you know, that's part of it, is that you know, it did have such a driving pulse to the song. This song, I don't know if you noticed this, but characteristic of quite a few Motown songs of that period, it slams every beat.
Yes. Yeah.
Every single beat is boom. And, you know, it just it gives it this drive. Now, Dancing in the Street was different. Freddie Waits, the drummer, he did he hit the second and fourth beat.
Mm-hmm.
Eased up on the first. But when he hit the second and fourth beat, he slammed them. Well, I mean, it was like a gun going off.
It's fun reading in your book about how they would do percussion in Motown, you know, the plywood on the floor and get people to stamp on
it. Yeah, anybody who was hanging out here, come over here, grab a crowbar.
We're speaking with Mark Kurlansky. His book is Ready for a Brand New Beat, How Dancing in the Street Became the Anthem for a Changing America. Now, your book has a discography that lists dozens of covers from
35, I think.
I think it's closer to 40, from the 70s up to 2010. Pick one for us to end with. What for you is the most unusual, interesting cover of Dancing in the Street?
Well, for me, the gem for originality is Ramsey Lewis,
the jazz pianist,
right? Trio, right? Mm-hmm. Did it in a trio, and you know, just takes it, inverts it, flips it around. You know, it's almost Bach-like.
So, yet another approach, as you said before, a great song. You can find what you want in it,
right?
And for many people, Dancing in the Street has been a place to find some pretty surprising things over the years. And for my guest, Mark Kurlansky, a big book out of the deal. It's called Ready for a Brand New Beat, How Dancing in the Street Became the Anthem for a Changing America. Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure talking to you, John.